This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the experiences. And because of you guys, this experience has gotten so much fun, I decided to do it twice a week. And on Tuesdays, that's today, is Listener Takeover Tuesday. So let's get to it. Got a couple of items to start with. One good, one bad. Of course, we're going to lead off with the bad, get that out of the way. But before all of that, we have a new patron. New patron, Nelson, thank you very much. His message to me was, it's been a long time coming, buddy. And I've talked to Nelson many times. He helped me through some issues I had with my home theater a little while back. And we've talked quite a bit, and he got back to me. He actually didn't get back to me. He became a patron this week, one of my Patreon supporters this week. And so, Nelson, thank you very much. As I said to you earlier, it is absolutely not needed. You've supported this podcast, like all of you guys do, more than I could imagine. So thank you very much. I really appreciate the support over on Patreon. And if anybody would like to join Nelson and all my other patrons, you can join him by going to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and support the podcast monetarily. Because it seems apropos to talk about this right now, is this is what I want this podcast to be, completely listener supported. As you could tell, this month I'm doing a lot of interviews. Just happened to be that way, where we're doing interviews and they just all scheduled right around that time. And I'm like, okay, I can do this then and then. And this week coming up, I will be talking to Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana. And we talk, we have an absolutely great conversation. He's like a brother to me now, because the way we see things very similarly. We talk before the podcast, after the podcast. It's just great. And that's why we ended up talking in the first place, is we had all this in common. Well, he also introduced me to SVS, put me in touch with them. That interview will be coming up next week, the following week. And then, as you know, if you listen to AV Rant, the following week after that, that is Thanksgiving. So we'll have our second annual Thanksgiving podcast. All the guys getting together in a couple of weeks. I am not going to field any questions. I would suggest you put your questions into AV Rant, since they're the question and answer podcast, because we're going to be answering a question or two from the listeners. And so put your questions in over there, and we'll submit whoever gets picked, we're going to answer them depending on the time. We're trying to go under this year, under the time that we did last year. I think last year was over 2 hours, and for some of the guys, it's a little tough. And it is tough, because we have to record it late at night, because we're all in different parts of the country. So it makes it a little tough. So we're trying to keep it around an hour. We'll see if that's possible. I mean, I'm all game. You know, you guys know me. I have people on here. I'm not afraid to go 3 hours. John and I talk over on chat. We talk a couple hours a week easily. So I have no problem. But yes, so that I am very much looking forward to that. I can't wait for that. The Thanksgiving podcast with all of the guys from AV Rant, HT guys, getting together with Ara, Braden, Lee, Tom, and what's that last guy's name? I'm just kidding. It's the first guy I'm supposed to forget his name, but Rob's been doing great. Rob's helped setting all of this up, and we're having a great time. It's just, I can't wait for you guys to hear it. I can't wait to do it. I haven't even done it yet. But anyways, the reason I'm talking about all this is because I'm talking to SVS, and I talked to Kaleidoscape, and I'm talking to all of these companies now. I've said to each of them, I want no favors. I when I talk about a company or a product or a movie, I want you guys to know that that's my real opinion, because this is the Bright Side of Home Theater. It's the Bright Side Home Theater podcast. And I don't really talk badly about anything. There are plenty of movies and products that I don't like, but unless I'm directly asked about a movie I don't like, I'm not going to come on here and just talk about it and just say, hey, I don't like fill in the blank, right? Because I don't think that's fair, because somebody does, whether it's a movie somebody made or a product somebody produced, it's, you know, it's in a market for somebody. Somebody likes it. So unless I'm directly asked, I'm not going to talk negative. So if that's the case, everything I say comes off as positive, kind of ruins your credibility a little bit. Because everything I say, is, it could be perceived as, oh, he likes everything. But that's not true. But the thing is, when I am very excited about all of the products that I do come on here and talk about, because that's why I reached out to them. You'll hear in the SVS podcast, I'm very excited to have those guys on. I was very excited for Todd to put me in touch with them, because they are, and I said it in the podcast, they were one of the first companies I thought of to get on here, because I love what they do. And I loved hearing, I've heard them on the other podcasts like AV Rant and HT Guys. And I love the idea of their company and the enthusiasm they have for home theater. And they make speakers, and I wanted to hear about how they test their speakers and what scenes. I thought that would be a good crossover. And wait till you hear the podcast, because we nailed it on that crossover. So very excited for that. But yes, sometimes I come off as a fanboy, which I absolutely am. I'm going to lean into that big time, because I am a fanboy for all the products that I talk about. And I don't want to be, quote unquote, paid by any of these companies. Or, as I said to you guys in the past, I don't want to be paid for, like, you know, reviewing a movie. I don't want to be an Amazon affiliate or whatever it is. And if you liked what I said, go buy the movie and here's the link, and then I get a percentage. Because then I'm just trying to sell something to you, and I'm not. I'm here to tell you about great scenes, great experiences, and the fun that we have in our theaters. And I think the only way to keep my credibility, keep, you know, the conflict of interest from popping up, is to be completely listener supported, or not supported at all, you know, which I'm fine with either way. So any money or anything that comes in here, I get from you guys. I know, like, the companies, they're willing to give me a discount on stuff. I'm fine with that, but I don't want money. I don't want this. I don't want to exchange anything. I only talk about the things that I really like, and that's that. So that's why I went. That's why I went the Patreon route. I didn't expect to even get as many followers as I have on there already, because I'm just a little guy. What do I know, right? So, but thank you to everybody that's supporting me on Patreon. Thank you, Nelson, for being the most recent Patreon supporter. Patron, really appreciate it. And that's that for this week, until the end of the podcast, when I'll thank Nelson again and thank all the supporters. All right, let's move on. We have on Twitter, Sam Rents followed this week, and DD Selly Fistyle at Dwayne Dans followed me on Twitter. And it's DD SELIFESTYLE. Not really sure how to pronounce that, but that's his Twitter handle or whatever. So followed me on Twitter. So thank you very much for following along there. And okay, let's get to the only negative part of today's podcast. And I am going to talk bad about this, because this is something that is near and dear to all of our hearts. I had a horrible experience at Showcase Cinemas in Millbury, Mass. On Friday when I went to see Eternals. And I'll tell you after about the movie. Let's just get this out of the way. This is, and it is the absolute worst experience I have ever had at a theater, and nobody did anything about it. And that's what really, really made me angry. So Somebody brought their kid to the movie. A young kid, 3 or 4 years old. Young little girl, 3 or 4 years old. And at the beginning of the movie, so I'd say for the first half hour, they allowed their kid to run around the theater. Now, I am in the X Plus. This is the X Plus cinema, which has got extra wide runway, like walkways in front of the seats because all the seats recline. So even with them reclined, you can still run around. You can still make your way through the aisle. The child ran around all over the theater, thought it was fun, just ran all over the theater. It gets worse. Running up and down the theater, that's distracting enough. Okay. The child was also wearing lighted sneakers, running all over the theater with every step you got the flashlight, flash bulb going off all over the theater. To the point that when the kid ran on the front row, you could make it out on, it was reflecting off the screen. You could see, and this is a giant screen. It's the X Plus Cinema. It's their top cinema in Showcase Cinema in Millbury. X Plus with Dolby Atmos surround sound, their largest screen. They do a big trailer at the beginning of it, give you the whole ultimate experience. Well, yeah, unless there's a three-year-old running around with lightning sneakers. Okay? It gets worse. So finally, after about a half hour of this, somebody in the theater yells out, "Get control of your kid." So the parent, or whoever was watching this kid, takes the kid and puts the kid in the seat. Won't let the kid get up. And what do you think happens then? Kid screams for the rest of the movie. 2 hours, because it's a 2.5 hour long movie, 2.5 hour plus, of a kid screaming, crying, doesn't want to sit still. The entire, so at like the hour mark, people are like, "Get your kid out of here." People are yelling. One, the guardian or whoever's watching this kid wouldn't leave. And two, nobody came in and asked them to leave from no management, nothing. That's disgusting. It's not a daycare. And this is a movie that's 2.5 hours long. That is probably one of the most, I would say, dense MCU movies, so much information, and you're being taken out of this scene. It's opening day for this movie. This is the stuff that theaters should be stopping in a heartbeat if they want people to come back. If this was on Disney Plus, I would have walked right out of there. But I honestly think I was so mad. I wanted to go and talk to the manager afterwards, but I was so angry that nothing good would have come from that conversation. I would have yelled at him or her, yelled at them. I just would have lost it because I was so angry. And it's getting me riled up right now just thinking about it. It took me 2 days to even tell my wife about it, to put out the tweet that I put out about it. I was so angry about it. This is why theaters are failing. And I don't blame them. I don't blame people. Why would I go back for that crap? It was horrible. There's no excuse. Lighted sneakers, running around a theater, and then a screaming kid. If that was in a restaurant, they would have been asked to leave. And if they didn't, they would have been told to leave. Because nobody wants to listen to a screaming kid for 2 hours. A meal shouldn't take 2 hours, so you wouldn't be there for that long. Never mind a three or a four-year-old kid being at a PG-13 movie. It was horrible, absolutely horrible, and hands down the worst experience because it involved sights and sounds. It was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So that's, I'm very disappointed in that. I hate to say it, but when you hear something like that or see something like that, I'm just like, this is why they're failing. And in part of me is like, I hope you do fail, because that's stupid. It is. It's just stupid. So, sorry, got a little bit of a temper. Let's please move on. Carl commented to my tweet, looking forward to hearing your story, DJ. So there's the story, Carl. Very sorry. So on better news, much, much better news, let's get to something I've been dying to talk about all day. I couldn't wait to sit down here and talk about this. And I woke up this morning, opened my phone, and I had a tweet from WV Brew. Thank you, WV Brew, for bringing this to me first. Wow, I woke up right away seeing this. Disney Plus will let you watch Shang-Chi and 12 other Marvel films with IMAX Enhanced. And he sent me the link. And I retweeted that, and we got a bunch of comments. And before I go on with all of my comments on this, I'll read all of these. So Steve George at Legal Beagle OK says it will be very disappointing if 4K disc doesn't have the shifting ratios, but the streaming version does. Daddy077 at Daddy077 says DTS is a must. Steve George says, just putting a marker down, I will be very unhappy if it turns out that the 4K UHD disc of Shang-Chi doesn't have shifting ratios where the Disney Plus version does, as in I won't be buying any more Disney discs, kind of unhappy. Also, he says, I have zero problem with IMAX enhanced stuff. What I have a huge problem with is paying for a premium product like 4K, like a 4K disc, which isn't the best version of the movie. And then he said, would I still buy the discs as they come out if they don't have shifting ratios, knowing that Disney Plus versions do have it? JJ Hunsacker, looking at the official graphic, the IMAX seems to be a TV-friendly 235:1 to 16:9 expansion, not the 4:3 Snyder Max version, which would defeat the mouse's objection of black lines in the home. So going through those, I have a few comments. Yes, it would be disappointing if they release a 4K disc. And I explained this to Steve. Say Shang-Chi comes out, when it comes out, and the 4K disc has just standard movie. I almost half expect that, because in my conversation with Steve, I said, I wouldn't be surprised, and I have my fingers crossed, that all these movies, the previous 12 movies, I'm hoping they all get re-released with IMAX Enhanced. I've got my fingers crossed for that. So what I would expect is Shang-Chi to come out in 4K with just your, 2:3:5 ratio, and then eventually we'll get discs that are IMAX enhanced, and those IMAX enhanced will then have DTS:X and variable aspect ratios. I have no problem with that. They're in the business of making money. That's how they're going to make money. They're going to sell us one, and they're going to double dip. And I know a lot of people hate that, but when you're in the business of making money, and we are the prey, the home theater fan, because most people don't care about aspect ratios. Most people don't care about DTS:X, but they can get it out to the masses. And then the suckers like us, and I'm happily a sucker for this. Fine. I've spent worse money, far worse money on worse things. I'm fine with it. I own many, many, many copies of Terminator 2 just because I'm a fan. I own many copies of Star Wars just because I'm a fan. If you're going to upgrade, we're all going to have upgrades, until the day you die. You're going to see upgrades on everything. So just get used to it and don't get mad at them, because they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing this to make money. That's how they would do it. Now, if we get Shang-Chi and it's got variable, great. They missed an opportunity to make some bucks off of us. I'm happy that they did it. But I wouldn't be surprised to see that. So And I also would not be surprised to see it take a little while to come out on disc, those other 12 or 13 movies, because they want us to see all this stuff on Disney Plus. This is to get Disney Plus going. Daddy-O's comment, DTS is a must. Most of the time, I would say DTS or DTSX is not a must. But in this case, I really feel like it is on Disney Plus, because what I think it that would be huge, because that would put the, you know, it's a game changer. It kind of puts Dolby on notice. Look, DTSX is going streaming now. And you know, as we know from the history of DTSX versus Dolby Atmos or Dolby or DTS versus Dolby, DTS is a more robust sound. They boost their bass. They give you that little bit more where it's going to make you, the listener, feel like it's just a better sound. It doesn't. They're both capable of exactly the same thing. DTS has just been the little, you know, little brother for so long. They cannot fail. They cannot even be perceived to failing. So all of their mixes tend to be very good, because if they slip up, everybody will be like, they're not very good. Where Dolby, kind of taken for granted. They're everywhere. They can put out a crappy product, but guess what? Eventually, most of them are really good. We know of a few that aren't, but oh well, it's okay. Just let it go. Where now, if DTSX goes streaming, oh man, it's that, and it sounds awesome. Now Dolby has to up their game, or at least match that. And that's what I think is exciting. This a competition on streaming audio. We're in for a fun ride, because competition breeds excellence. And that's what I'm looking for. And I'm very excited for all of that. And as far as how excited, I have been wanting IMAX, these movies in IMAX, since these movies came out. IMAX Enhanced wasn't even a thing when they started talking about Endgame and Infinity War being shot in IMAX. And I was, when they announced IMAX Enhanced, on this podcast, I said, I'm hoping that these movies come out with an IMAX Enhanced version so that we get that full screen, those scenes in full, with a full screen advantage. I didn't even care about the DTSX at the time. I just wanted to see, like, I saw examples of, I think it was Endgame, where they had, you know, this is how they filmed it. They filmed it with the IMAX cameras. They wanted that full top and, but you know, no black bars and how much more you see. Very excited for that. So hearing this stuff, I actually got an email that's coming up later in this podcast from Carl about IMAX and streaming services. I'll talk about that then, but I'm very excited for this. Cannot wait. Cannot wait for Friday. This all drops on Friday. I am actually going away on Friday with my wife for her birthday, taking her away for the weekend. So I have to cram all this in before we leave. Luckily it's going to be raining, so I'll be picking her up at work. So I'll be able to cram in a bunch of content, IMAX enhanced content on Disney Plus Friday morning. So very much, very, very much looking forward to it. I can't wait to see what you guys think of it. I think, you know, Disney Plus changing the games all over again. When Disney Plus launched, nobody had a clue Star Wars was getting 4K with Dolby Atmos anywhere, never mind streaming. And then when that launched, all the home theater fans were like, it's in Star Wars is in 4K and with Atmos, check this out. And now they're doing it again. You know, Disney Day, you know, November 12th, Disney Plus Day, whatever it's called, they're giving us IMAX Enhanced, and I think that's fantastic. It's a game changer. I love what Disney's doing. For everybody that talks negative about it, you know, they're in the market to make money. That's the only reason they're there. They're making money and they're doing it right. They're giving us stuff that we want, and they're changing the landscape. They're changing the streaming landscape. What's that going to do to HBO Max? Come on, IMAX Enhanced, and you're HBO Max. You got to get something. Come on, let's go. Everybody, Netflix, come on, let's go. Bring it on. So, very excited. All right. Let's move along. We have in a tweet from Adriano the Nerd at AdrianoTweets87 says, great episode and a great movie. One of my favorites. Good discussion about older movies being cleaned up. I think movies should look of their time. With The Crow, for example, I think if they cleaned it up too much, it may lose some of that dirty and gritty flavor of the visuals. Obviously, he's talking about my conversation with Tom Andre and talking about The Crow. And I agree, Adriano, because that's what Tom and I were saying. And it's, I would love to see a restored version, but I want it to keep that grit. I want it to keep that look. And I think it's possible, especially after, you know, talking about Psycho and some of these older movies, that you can still retain that look and feel of the time period, but you don't have to go overboard. And I mean, like I said, DTSX on Psycho, I mean, that's crazy to think that. And until you hear it, you'd think it was weird, but it's not. It sounds completely natural and really well done. So Adriano also says, speaking of Alex Proyas, is that how you pronounce it? Speaking of Alex Proyas, though, iRobot, not a bad movie for some popcorn fun. Yes, I absolutely love iRobot. I do. And I'm not, that sounds like, you know, I'm just going over the top there, but I do. I absolutely love iRobot. I love the rules, the three rules. I love the story. I even love, for the time period, I love the special effects. Big Will Smith fan. I really do. I really like that movie. It's really good in 3D as well. Enjoyed that. Al at geekforlife_ says, I have watched this movie over 50 times easily, and it was one of my favorites during the 90s and early 2000s. Time to revisit it again. Again, talking about Tom and I talking about The Crow. BJ Horton talking about The Crow. And actually, no, he wasn't. He was talking about, he says, at Brightside HT and at AV Rant Tom, I listened to the Jurassic Park episode last night. Then I see this on my Facebook page today. And it's a YouTube video. If you haven't seen it, it's a YouTube video where they substituted the T-Rex scene. They substituted the T-Rex for a cat. And it is pretty funny. It's parody. Just look it up on YouTube. Just Jurassic Park, but with a cat. Check that out. It's really, really funny. But yeah, BJ going through, BJ Horton, 2005. BJ's going through all of my podcasts, so it's pretty funny. That comes up again later because he gets the one I did with Rob. But that Jurassic Park was the first time I had Tom on. And he was actually my very first guest. First guest I ever, and now look at it. It's like guests November, apparently. So, WV Brew says, how wild is this? How Lucille Ball helped Star Trek become a cultural icon. And I got this tweet last Tuesday while I was sitting down to record with John, and we were going to record Brightside Chat. And I said, hey, did you know this? And he's a huge Trekkie fan. And he broke it all down for me as I flipped through the article. He goes, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, it was her studio. It was this and that. And it's like, and as we were talking, I started to remember, I did hear that because I'm a huge Lucille Ball fan. I mean, she was a badass. She didn't take crap from anybody. Basically she lived the no excuses life of, hey, you know, I don't like the way they're doing things, so I'm going to do it myself. And like her drive was like, they wouldn't let her husband, Desi, be in the show. So she's like, screw you. I'll make the show myself and I'll put it. And she made her own studio. She did all this. And it was that love of their marriage and her husband that drove her to do that. And it's, she was a driven person and she didn't take no for an answer. And it's like, look, you're not going to produce it? Fine. And it's almost like she said, I respect that. That's your opinion. But screw you. I'm going to do it myself. And look at what she became and how she changed everything. So huge fan of Lucille Ball. WV Brew says, at Brightside HT, For my money, best show on TV. Season 2, even better than season 1, blows everything else out of the water. Batista is perfect new villain. So he's talking about C over on Apple TV Plus, and that's C-S-E-E. Definitely, if you have Apple TV Plus, definitely check that out. I am in the process of going back through season 1 now that I have my upgraded theater projector system with the Lumigen. So I am, it's a great, you know, all, you know, the 4K and the HDR in that is fantastic. So I'm going through season 1 before I start season 2 again, or start season 2. Really looking forward to getting to season 2, but it is, it's a great show. All of Apple TV Plus's stuff, it seems to be top notch. You might not like the particular piece of content, like maybe it's not your genre, it's not your cup of tea, the subject matter, but production wise, everything is absolutely top notch. I'm also going through, obviously I've said Foundation, Invasion. My wife and I, we actually came down and we put on The Morning Show, which we're in the middle of. We watch that weekly, like every Friday, but typically we watch it upstairs. It's not really a home theater one, but we watched it. We watched an episode in the theater just for fun, and it looks spectacular. It because that's what Apple TV is doing. They're just doing like a fantastic job with production. That nothing is bad as far as home theater goes. So all of their stuff is has been great. Martin Anderson at Brightside HT. He says, "Hey DJ, as always, enjoyed the show today. Thumbs up. Regarding your advice to BJ, I completely agree with you about taping off the screen area, even speaker areas, but I can't have a working system that's not finished. I'd never get around to finishing it if it worked." And his laughing face, he sent. And I kind of agree with you, but one of the reasons I say to set your system up, even if it's in like in the raw, like speaker wires on the floor and everything, it gives you an idea on what you're going for. And it'll also give you an idea on how the room really affects everything. So in BJ's case, he's in a garage that doesn't have walls yet. It doesn't have this. As he adds stuff to it, imagine how much the sound is going to improve. And then as he adds room treatments to that, how much the sound improves. As he adds, whatever, ceiling and speakers and what actually properly places the speakers, how much it gets improved. There's so many steps that it's like when you first set it up, you might be blown away by something and you're like, wow, that sounds great. But that if you think that that's it, then maybe you are done for now. But the other thing is BJ's at a point where he's, like he said, it's, process that he's, analysis paralysis. Sorry. He was, and it's like, you can get there, but if you set your stuff up, it gives you some motivation. Like I want walls for this. I want to hang my speakers on a wall and not just have them on a box in the corner or something. But that's to each his own. If you have the drive to actually finish the room before you put it all together, then you can do that. But even to the point that, think about this, my theater that I'm in, when I moved into my theater in January of 2002, I said I'd set up my stuff almost from day one, but that's actually not true because my stuff had been set up for years ahead of time. Because when I built my theater, all I did was take my stuff from my apartment that was in the living room, and now I just incorporated it into my theater. I used the same NHD speakers. I used the same receiver at the time that I had. I used the same Laserdisc player, everything. So when I came here, I set it up in my, basement and then built the room around it as I was going. But all of that stuff had been heard and listened to for years in an apartment, which is, I tacked the wire nicely on the walls, but it still was kind of set up in the raw. So you kind of get that idea of like, this is what it's like. And very much like if you have a system in your living room, but then you're going to build a room downstairs, set it up in your living room. And then as the room gets finished downstairs, pop everything in and they, you're off and running. So we all have a different version of it, but I think we all do it to a degree. And I, you know, just trying to help BJ along and get him some motivation to get things going, because he seems to, he really wants to get things going. And I know he is. I've talked to him about his progress and he's working with AV Rant. And we actually talked, I tweeted today about something about it. It's coming up in a few minutes. Let's see what's up next. Steve George, I actually commented to him. Another excellent Sony disc, he says, about Fury. And I said, yes, it, you know, Sony, they make some fantastic discs. All of their physical media, it's hard to think of one that isn't fantastic. I love Sony's discs, their physical media, and they use IMAX Enhanced too. So it's really, really good. You can't go wrong with that, and not a bad cinema experience in anything that I've heard or seen from Sony yet. Some people were saying that maybe, I think it came, I can't remember if I grabbed the tweet or not, talking about the Fifth Element, saying, and Steve George doesn't like the Fifth Element. So, but I loved the disc. I loved the version. I thought it was vibrant. I thought it popped off the screen. And I thought it sounded fantastic. So that's another Sony disc. So somebody was saying that it wasn't as good as a previous version, but I think that was more to do with how HDR pops compared to, like, it can sometimes HDR can look a little bit more subdued. It looks a little darker, but I think a lot of that has to do with TV settings and what it actually is supposed to look like, as opposed to a blown out or a brighter image that you might get with SDR. So, all right, moving along. Dan Carpenter at Skippy Turtle. Just watched Life last night. I wouldn't call it a horror or scary movie, just a sci-fi flick. Wasn't bad. And he was actually replying to hashtag dork. They put out a tweet saying, looking for a horror movie to watch. This was on October 30th. To watch tonight that I haven't seen. Doesn't seem like a long list, because he watches a lot of horror movies. And I said, have you seen Life? And he actually said he hadn't. And Dan was just commenting that I wouldn't call it a horror flick. And I actually would. In the guise of like Alien or Aliens, it was a horror flick like that. It is a sci-fi movie, but a lot of people consider Alien and Aliens horror flicks. And I would say the same thing about Life. It's pretty much dead on like Aliens. And, but I see what he's saying. It's just a sci-fi flick, but I thought it was a scary movie. I thought it was a horror flick and I thought it was really good. So at least Dan and I agree with, he says it wasn't bad. So, all right. BJ Horton. Okay. Brightside AT, finished the first podcast with At First Reflect, Rob. We'll absolutely have to check out She-Ra. Have either of you watched Steven Universe? This had me thinking of it. It's a very similar setup in many ways. Neat music style. Love those shows and movie. And he sent a link from it. It's on Cartoon Network. And it's funny because just the artwork that I'm looking at for Steven Universe looks very similar to She-Ra. Very, very similar. And no, I haven't seen that, BJ. So I'm not sure I'll get to it, but yeah, I haven't seen that one. And then he says, and then BJ also says, okay, I'm in episode 2 and actually really enjoying it. Talking about She-Ra. He goes, I'm in the living room with a 75 inch TCL and the uber cheap soundbar with sub and surrounds. But for this, it's okay. And it is, She-Ra's not exactly a surround sound movie or show, but it has great color, great colors, great imagery on the screen. And Rob and I ended up doing that podcast because Rob was dying to talk to somebody. And I'm like, absolutely, I'll talk about anything. So come on. So we had a great conversation talking about it. And if it wasn't for Rob, and if it wasn't for obviously this podcast, I wouldn't have watched She-Ra. I would have said that's for kids, little girls. And I absolutely loved it. I really did. And Rob H. says, yay, pilot's good. 4 through 6 are princess of the week. 8 was first episode I loved. 11 made it more than a kid's show. DJ was on board after season 1 finale. Season 2 and 3 are actually one arc. Last 4 episodes, season 3 are very strong. Season 4 turns things on its head. Season 5 moves and sticks the landing. I agree with all of that. And it was funny. I don't have the memory like some of these people do, and especially not that Rob does. It's funny. He remembers that I was on board after season 1, and I haven't listened back to that podcast, but I do remember saying to Rob, like, yeah, I was going along, and he's right. 4 and 6 are like introductions, princess of the week type thing. But yeah, I was going along, and I'm going to watch it. I think they're all like 20, 25 minutes long. So I was going to get this done to do the podcast with Rob, but after season 1 finale, I was like, all right, now I couldn't wait for every episode. And I was like, all right, I got to get to the next one. I want to watch the next one. And it made it a lot more fun. And it was, like I said, it's a very good, very good show. Very good show. I recommend to anybody. Carl tweets, at Brightside HT and HDTV podcast. Crazy. He tweeted a picture, screen grab of AMC Palm Promenade 24 in San Diego, California, and somebody commenting, crazy to see everything sold out before noontime. And I believe they were talking about the Eternals last week. So that is awesome news that people were just getting in line to go, you know, that, and it's sold out to see the Eternals. So that's pretty cool. BJ also comments, at Brightside HT, who? LOL, and he screen grabbed a picture or took a picture of his TV playing AV Rant and Tom at AV Rant _Tom with a puzzled face. And at that point in the podcast, Rob was talking about his appearance on Brightside Home Theater, and Tom goes, who? Huh? Who? And Tom had the best comeback for him too. Tom's like, oh no, you know, DJ, that guy you talked to for over 3 hours and then you got off and you're talked for even longer and then your computer died. Yeah. That guy that you can't remember. And he goes, no, I don't remember any of that. Tom's awesome. I love it. Todd Anderson at AV Woofer, my guest this coming up this Friday, listening, he says, the second your friend said, talking about John. So now this is Todd tweeting about the conversation that John and I had for my anniversary and John's little snafu. So Todd says, listening, the second your friend said mistake, Odyssey, and app, I knew exactly what he was about to admit. It's a weird catch to using the app. I bet a ton of people have made that mistake. And I agree. I that's why I wanted to get him on. Not why I wanted to get him on, but that's why I wanted us to talk about it, is I have a feeling a lot of people have made that mistake and you don't even know it. And why would you know it? Because, you know, it seems like, all right. And that, it kind of plays into the idea that Tom Andre talks about all the time, is that when somebody tells you you're going to see something and then you see it, it's because it was being told to you. It's so much better when you see something on your own and nobody said anything, because your brain is going to try to rationalize whatever they're saying. And then you hear, you know, hey, did you see this here? Oh yeah, I see that, but it's not there. And you think you calibrated your system and it Odyssey EQ did everything. And you were like, yes, that does sound better. Yeah, no, that's fake beer. You're not drunk. So, Graham Cole at Grambo X says, congrats on another year. Thanks, Graham. Appreciate it. Theo at Theo One Alpha says, love me Star Wars action. And he says, yes, congratulations on your anniversary. Looking forward to many more. Me too. And then Theo DM'd me. He says, check out the Wheel of Time trailer. So I did. I happened to be in my theater when I got that DM from Theo, and it's going to be on Amazon Prime, and it looks fantastic, especially the trailer playing in my theater. It looks awesome. I hope it's everything that the trailer. I hope it has great production. I hope it has great 4K and HDR and Atmos and all of that fun stuff, because this show, this series looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It has all the makings of a great home theater experience. I mentioned earlier that BJ, I had something to help him out in his theater. Last week on AV Rant, Tom recommended that he add bias lighting. So, because BJ was saying he needs to have some lights on in his room when he's watching a movie. So Tom asked about some bias lighting, and this is something. So I tweeted at him today, just before we started recording, as a matter of fact. I tweeted a link to Todd Anderson's tweet about, LX1 bias light kit. So it's a bias lighting kit that's fairly cheap. It's, you know, budget friendly, as Todd calls it. And what it is it puts, you know, 6,500 degree Kelvin light, temperature light. And that 6,500, it's not a temperature, that's a color. And that's what we get into it a little bit in the podcast coming up on Friday, talking about bias lighting and proper bias lighting. Wait till you hear that conversation. Pretty funny. But I think this is something that would, it's funny how it works out, because Todd and I talked a few weeks ago about that. We recorded a couple of weeks ago, and he had just got the kit in, and it's funny that Tom mentions it on Friday's podcast, and I heard it over the weekend. I kept forgetting to tweet it until I sat down here to record, and I was like, oh yeah, I should tell BJ about this, because it would be perfect for him. So check that out. BJ, check that out. I'm sure you've seen the tweet by now. But yeah, and in this week's podcast, one of the topics Todd and I talk about is bias lighting. So, and it's actually a pretty, let's say, colorful conversation about bias lighting. There's a ton of puns in there, if you know what I mean. And if you don't, you'll find out on Friday. Let's see. Gurinder had an email, and he says, I think Tom puts the rant in AV Rant, and you put the bright in Brightside Home Theater. LOL. And I was like, that's my goal, and clearly that's his goal. He's like, the other day I mentioned the screen texture to my wife, and she just looked at me like I'm crazy and said she hadn't noticed it. And talking about the screen texture in his acoustically transparent screen. He explained we talked about some other stuff about the Lumigen. I won't go into that. But he also says, my ceiling isn't too high and the room is only 128 inches wide. Thus, an acoustically transparent screen is the best compromise to get a large image in this room. It's nice not seeing the speakers during a movie, although you could just put some black velvet on top to cut out the reflections. And yes, so first off, he says a couple of things here that, you know, acoustically transparent is a compromise to get a large image. And that's exactly what it is. Home theater is all about compromise. When you first get into home theater, your budget is what you're compromising, or why you're compromising, right? Because you're getting into this and it's like, well, I can't afford the best of the best. I can't even afford that, you know, and you compromise on how can I get the best experience for my dollar? And that's what you do. Now, as you're going on, it's like, look, I can do this size screen if I want to put speakers on either side, but I want a bigger screen. So you can either have the speakers on the outside of your screen and not compromise on sound not compromise on sound or picture, because now your picture is going, it's going to be smaller, but the image is going to be, as far as you can tell, perfect. It's what you can get. It's the best you can get, right? But that's a compromise in a way, because you just compromise the size. So you go a little bit wider, or you go wider, you go to the size that you can have, the biggest size you can possibly have, at a small compromise of maybe a slight, being able to notice a slight texture in the screen, or maybe losing a little light through the screen. Because if sound can come through, that means light can go through. And if light can go through, that means it's not being reflected back. So, you're compromising one way or the other, right? That's what home theater is all about. What am I compromising here? I'd like to have a million speakers in my room, but they don't do that. So I compromise and I go with the most I can fit, the most, whatever it is. But it's always a compromise. And as you progress, you lessen that compromise. Each step is a, you know, lessening a compromise that you made. So I liked that. And I love not being able to see your speakers. My whole front wall, you can't see my speakers. They're all behind speaker cloth and around my screen. So that's what I wanted. I used to have an acoustically transparent screen because I wanted my speakers to be behind the screen. Just like when you go to the movie theater, where are the speakers? Behind the screen. Because the screen's like, you know, 50 yards wide. Or maybe not that wide, but you know what I mean. All right. This cracked me up. And I almost replied to Carl. Carl and I go back and forth all the time about stuff. Great conversations. And I almost replied to this and I was like, know what? I'll save it for the podcast. So just the headline. This 4K laser projector can compensate for the color of a painted wall. They all can. All of them. All projectors can compensate for the color of a painted wall. It's an actual feature on this projector though, which is, it is kind of cool for somebody. I think it was a $2,500 projector, if I remember right. And what it is it doesn't exactly compensate, but you tell it like what color the wall is, like what off white color it might be. You put that into the projector and it'll display an image to give it that idea of like it's hitting a white screen. So it'll compensate the colors for you. But the point is all projectors compensate for the color. So when you have somebody come out, like my walls are blue in my theater, they're dark blue. It's a dark royal blue, but it's a flat color. So there's not a lot being reflected and it is a darker color. So there's not a lot being reflected. And I have the sound absorption on the side walls closer to the screen. So you're not getting, there's not a lot coming off the walls, but they do. There's no doubt that they are affecting the color on the screen. When your calibrator comes out, he's going to tell you, turn the lights down to the level that you want when he calibrates your system. If you are like BJ and you have biased lighting, they're going to calibrate the display with the biased lighting on. They're going to calibrate it to exactly what it's like when you watch a movie. And that's so that they can take in all of the light that is being bounced off the screen. So if you have a bright blue wall off to the side and it's reflecting a little bit of blue light onto your screen, the calibration will reset that so you get the proper color. That's the purpose of having something calibrated. Something over and above what, you know, filmmaker mode is. Filmmaker mode is great, but it doesn't take into account that the reflections that are coming onto your screen. And that's even on a display device, not even a projector. So you're watching your regular TV and you're seeing this, you're watching this. It might not be reflecting the colors onto the wall, onto the screen, I mean, because it's not a reflective screen. It's actually a display. But there is still some calibration being done, and the colors of your wall will actually enhance your eye. It will change the perception of your eyes. So if you have a bright blue wall behind your display, say a 75-inch television, your eyes are going to be saturated with all that blue coming at you, and then that's going to change your view of the colors on the screen because you're going to be saturated with that blue coming in. Very similar to if you ever looked at the opposite color, like the American flag, and then look at a white piece of paper, and now you see red, white, and blue. But whereas before you saw like green, yellow, and whatever on the, and then your eyes are resetting, and now you're seeing the proper colors on a blank screen where a blank piece of paper. Your eyes are taking in all of these colors, and each color affects the other color. That's how all of this, how your brain works, how your eyes work, and getting that all, you know, calibrated or whatever, that's just so that you know I like it, because then you know you're getting the best possible version and you're getting exactly what they intended. And it's taking into account the colors and it's compensating for the painted wall. So, all right, moving on. Carl also says, IMAX, this is the one I mentioned earlier, IMAX explores streaming, but the idea is not to replace the theater experience. Read this article as well. I love this. IMAX is looking to do streaming. Now, this article came out before the Disney Plus news today. So I'm hoping they're exploring streaming plus what happened today. So IMAX is into streaming now. We know that because of Disney Plus. But this article was talking about maybe an IMAX streaming service. And all IMAX movies come out onto a streaming service. How cool would that be, that everything goes there? Maybe then we don't get the Disney, we don't get the discs, because it's IMAX is going to be looking to do that. I don't know. A lot of stuff at play here. But I think that would be fantastic to have all of those movies in one place. And you know IMAX is going to be looking to put this out as lossless as possible, even though it's streaming. They're going to be looking to do DTS X, because IMAX Enhanced includes DTS X. That, and it, with Disney Plus's announcement today, DTS X coming to streaming, IMAX Enhanced, it's going to be fun. And I don't think Disney Plus is going to be the only place to do it, unless maybe that's what they were hinting at, and maybe not, I don't know. But this article I read last week, and it did mention a streaming service from IMAX. They were guessing, though. They were guessing, and this was a conversation with the CEO from IMAX. So we'll see. Let's see. Theo commented over there on YouTube, "We are all with you and enjoy the show. Congratulations." Thank you. Talking about my anniversary special there. G. Cornell. We have great conversations all during the week with G. Cornell. And he asked me, he's like, "The Protege, you need to check this out." And I replied to him, "You know what?" It's like, "I think you're the third person to tell me I need to check out The Protege." And I happened to mention to him, I'm like, he goes, "Oh, you got to get on it then." And I'm like, I'm trying. I'm taking in a lot more content than I used to, because I'm just absolutely enjoying, as you guys have heard, I love The Lumigen. I love what it's doing in my theater. So I'm in there even more, probably doubling my time in there. But I don't get a lot of time, where a longer time. So I'm doing a lot of streaming content, hour-long shows, 40 minutes here, whatever. And G. Cornell mentions that he'll go in and he'll do like a, you know, half hour, 40 minutes on a movie, pick it up the next day and turn it into like a 3-day episode, a 3-day event, just to watch a 2-hour movie. And I said, I can't do that, because movies to me are written to for a flow, right? So you have your first scene, your second scene, and your final act, the third scene. And then it all is meant to like to build your emotions to a certain thing. And once you come out of that, I feel it's hard to get back into it, like in the middle of a movie, which is kind of what made me angry at Showcase last Friday, because it kept taking me out of the movie. I like to just sit down and enjoy the movie in its entirety. Now, that being said, once I've seen a movie, I love to jump around. I love to jump from scene to scene. And that's why I love the Zapiti, is because I can jump from movie to movie and scene to scene and do all of that fun stuff and just whatever. And what G. Cornell said, he goes into his home theater when the mood strikes. He goes, could be after lunch or late afternoon or after dinner. However we watch, all good. And he's right. I go in whenever the mood strikes too. And that's what this podcast is about. What am I in the mood for? I've sat down to watch a bunch of movies that for this podcast, I'm like, oh, I want to do this movie. And I'll go and watch it. And it didn't work. It just didn't work. The mood wasn't, there is no way I could talk about it with enthusiasm and with passion. I love the movie, but it just didn't resonate with me home theater wise. So you guys will never know about those movies, because I don't want to talk about that. That's not what this podcast is about. It's talking about the great experiences, right? So it didn't resonate with me, and that's my opinion, and that'll stay with me. I'm sure you guys have them too. There's movies you guys don't like. Some of them I've probably talked about, and it didn't resonate with you, and that's fine. But I don't want to talk bad. But yeah, it's all about mood. Especially art is all about mood. And if art makes you angry, guess what? It's a great piece of art because it's supposed to make you angry or happy or sad, but it's supposed to strike a mood. So, all right, let's see. Another comment from Mikey on YouTube. I love this comment. It's so funny. It's so simple. He says, "You seem so grateful for comments. It'd be rude not to." That's it. That's it. Doesn't tell me if he liked the podcast. And clearly he listened for a while because he knows I love getting comments. So he made one. Perfect, Mikey. I love it. All right. Carl says another on YouTube says another magic conversation. THX was born and began appearing in cinemas with the release of Lucas's next film, Star Wars Episode. Six? Return of, no, yeah. Four, five, yeah, six. Episode six, Return of the Jedi in 1983. I remember seeing the THX trailer at the cinema and being blown away when we went in 83 and had no idea what it meant. Meaning he had no idea what the THX meant, what the trailer meant or anything. We all know now. And me with my Roman numerals, not very good. So, and that will do it for this week. That was a lot. Thank you. Thank you to everybody that's participating, has participated, will participate. You guys are what make this show great. You guys are what makes it great for me to sit down, keeps me motivated, keeps me happy, keeps me passionate about talking about it. I'm always passionate about home theater. Just ask anybody that's found me on the street and said, "Hey, you got a home theater? Look out." Speaking of which, one last thing. This is funny. I had my oil burner serviced last week. So my oil burner, of course, my furnace is in the basement. I wasn't home at the time. My daughter was. She's 22. So she lets him in, says, "Yep, there's the furnace. Whatever you got to do, do it." So that's what he did. Texts me the bill later. I'm paying the bill. That was on like Wednesday or Thursday. Saturday morning, I get a text from the furnace guy. "You do surround sound?" I said, "Yep." He's like, "Now we're going back and forth playing phone tag. He wants me to help him with his surround sound." My son goes, "How did he know?" I go, "He had unsupervised access to our basement. That's where the theater is. Of course he found out." So even the furnace guy here to clean the furnace, he wants surround sound. There you go. So everybody's getting interested. I have an announcement coming up in probably it'll be a few weeks. I'm doing a theater right now, helping somebody with one. Can't wait. And we'll talk more about that later as we near completion. If you're following me on Twitter and you're paying attention to some of the stuff I think I tweeted it briefly a few weeks ago. But yeah, that's coming up. So, but yeah. A lot of people wanting home theaters now, and some of them don't even know what they're in for, don't know what it is, but they just want it because nobody wants to go out anymore. Oh, well, good for us. Bad for going out. All right, that will do it. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters. Thank you very much, Nelson, for being the most recent one. Thank you, Nelson. Again, you didn't have to do that, buddy, but I greatly appreciate it. Always, always, all I am are listener supported, whether monetarily or through all your comments. You're supporting me. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Thank you to everybody on YouTube. Really appreciate it. Have a great week, everybody. I will be back on Friday. Todd Anderson and I from AV Nirvana. We have a great conversation on Friday. So hope you guys enjoy that. And then I will be back on Tuesday next week. We'll talk all about IMAX Enhanced on Disney Plus. All your comments. Can't wait. Have a great week, everybody, and go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production.
with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.